A reading from Jonah 4, verses 1 to 11. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? This is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. But the Lord replied, Have you any right to be angry? Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. Then he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the vine so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, It would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, Do you have a right to be angry about the vine? I do, he said. I am angry enough to die. But the Lord said, You have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about the great city? This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who helps us to understand it. And we pray that you will give each one of us open ears, open hearts, and obedient lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. I expect most of you know that I'm a preacher. And most of the congregations I preach to are very small. They've ranged from 3 to when I'm here, which isn't very small. And I hope you don't mind me saying that every so often I have a bit of a dream. I dream of preaching to a vast crowd. And not only do I dream of preaching to a vast crowd, but I dream of preaching of a vast crowd to all respond positively to what I've had to say. It does happen for some people, doesn't it? But for most of us who preach, that's not the way that it is. But it is nice when someone comes and says thank you, or it's been a blessing, or asks for prayer. But Jonah, in terms of percentages, must be the most successful preacher who ever lived. Everyone he preached to repented. Whew, wow. Can you imagine? Everybody, thousands of people who heard his message repented. He was even more successful than Peter. 3,000 people repented when he preached. Even more successful than Paul. And dare I say it, without being irreverent, he was much more successful than the Lord, because the Lord's sermons tended to divide the crowd. Many believed, but others wanted to throw him off the cliff, which isn't the reaction that most of us want. At the beginning of chapter 3 of Jonah, we read that God has given Jonah a second chance. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. The first time the word had come to Jonah, go and preach to Nineveh. And what had happened? Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, this wicked city, this enemy city, this city who he thought deserved everything that they were about to get. And he did not go. In fact, he ran away as far as he possibly could. and he ended up inside a fish, inside a big fish, in the dark, in the gloom, for 3 days. And while he was in that fish, God speaks to him. It's a chastening experience. It's an experience where he experiences God's love and mercy and salvation. But God has given him now this second chance. Isn't it wonderful to know that our God is the God of second chances, and third chances, and fourth chances? You only have to look through the scriptures to see again and again people who failed, people who let God down. Peter, Jesus, never met him, don't know him, filled with the Holy Spirit and preaching to vast crowds who repent and come to know Christ. John Mark, so keen but rather fragile, runs back home to mum, given a second chance to go on the missionary journeys. Have you ever let God down? Have I ever let God down? Has he told me to do something and I haven't done it? Has he told me to do something and I've tried but hasn't been very good? God is the God of a second chance. Don't let that missed chance get you down. Don't let that missed chance take over your life. Oh, I could have done that. I should have done that. I didn't do that. God forgives. God sends his Spirit. God strengthens, and God gives us that second chance, just as he does here with Jonah. So after this rather unpleasant experience, to say the least, in the fish, Jonah sets off at long last for Nineveh. It's a huge city, a large city. It's a wicked city. It's a city where people are cruel and mean. If you did the study this week, you know, you read that Anne told us that it was where they impaled people on poles while they were still alive. We used to do it in this country, didn't we, with the heads, but they were dead by then. But over in Nineveh, it was while they were still alive, skewered onto a pole. They didn't like you. Perhaps that's one of the reasons Jonah didn't want to go. But off he goes, at long last, to proclaim God's message of judgment. Now, we saw from our reading this morning that in chapter 4, in verse 2, he knows God is a gracious God. He says, "You're compassionate, you're gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love, not wanting to send calamity." What a wonderful, wonderful description of God. Let's read that again. Gracious. Is that your view of God? Gracious? Compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, not wanting to send calamity. Sam reminded us earlier of the love of God. This is the God whom we serve and believe in. But this doesn't seem to be part of Jonah's message. In chapter 3, we read that he proclaims, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Certainly wasn't the good news of the gospel, was it? 40 days, and you're for it. 40 days, and you're all going to be dead. 40 days, this city will be no more. Did he shout angrily? Did he yell? Probably. Did he gloat over his message? You see, chapter 4 indicates, although we don't necessarily definitely know, that he didn't show any compassion or any grief at their fate. Did he mention God's love? We're not told so. In 40 days, you're going to be destroyed. Jonah would have been very happy to see his enemies perish. And before we blame him, it was quite a thing in the Old Testament for people to want their enemies to perish. He would have agreed with the psalmist who wrote these things. Psalm 5, verses 9 and 10. Their heart is filled with malice, my enemies. Their throat is an open grave, with their tongues they tell lies. Declare them guilty, O God, let their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins, for they have sinned against you. Psalm 69. Pour out your wrath upon them. Let your fierce anger overtake them. May their place be deserted. Let there be no one to dwell in their tents. Charge them with crime upon crime, and do not let them share in your salvation. Ooh. And how about Psalm 137? Written by the psalmist about the people of Babylon. I hope none of us have ever prayed like this. Daughter Babylon, doomed to destruction, happy is the one who repays you for all you have done to us. Happy is the one who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks. Wow. See, it wasn't just Jonah, was it? This was the attitude that a lot of people had, these Israelites. They thought they were God's chosen people. They knew they were God's chosen people. And everyone else, well, they didn't want them to share in God's salvation. They just wanted them to be punished. This psalmist and Jonah are very unlike Abraham, who pleaded with God that even if only 10 righteous people could be found in Sodom and Gomorrah, that God would spare them. Remember, the number kept going down. If it's 100, Lord, will you save the city? 50, 20, 10. Wonder if it had gone down any lower. You see, Abraham wants his enemies to be forgiven, to be spared. He wants them to know God's love, not his anger and his wrath. And how about the Lord Jesus? As he came into Jerusalem, knowing that the people there would turn against him and mock him and reject him and crucify him, wept with compassion. Wept with compassion because they were lost like lost sheep. So Jonah has gone off to Nineveh. He's proclaimed this message. Standing at the street corners, maybe, I don't know. I don't know about you, but these days, most people, even Christians sometimes, find people who stand on the street corners yelling about judgment at least embarrassing, if not annoying and off-putting. We've all been there, haven't we? These days, Jonah would have been led away by police and told not to return. However, there were still some preachers and people who prefer to preach judgment rather than mercy. In one of his daily reading books, Jeff Lucas described a visit he and a friend made to a new church. The preacher preached about hell and judgment with unseemly enthusiasm. His vocabulary was colourful and terrifying, and there was no grace or compassion. According to Jeff, he seemed rather like Jonah, to be too pleased about the judgment that was to come. And Jeff concluded, this was a man who gleefully announced bad news. Rather like Jonah. What did Jonah want to happen? What did he expect to happen? Well, he wanted, I think, that none of them would take any notice and God would send the thunder and the fire and destroy the city. Is that what he expected to happen? Because he knew that God was compassionate. And the people of Nineveh were told that when they heard Jonah's message, they believed God. They believed what they heard, that they were going to be destroyed because they were so wicked. They listened. They took notice. They were convicted and convinced. Although we don't read that Jonah did give them any hope, they fasted, went without their food. We're not told how many days this was for, but straight away, they did what people did a lot in those days. If they were sorry, they fasted. They wore sackcloth as a sign of repentance. I just have this picture of all the donkeys and the horses and the cows draped in sackcloth. They didn't have any choice about it, but even the animals were draped in sackcloth. They prayed. They repented. They changed their ways in the hope that God might have compassion. They didn't know that he would. They hoped that he would. Isn't it wonderful that our message is so much greater than that? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, the people of Nineveh, they wait. Have they done enough? Have they been sorry enough? Have they changed their minds? Will God actually do something about it, or are they still doomed? They don't know. God did have mercy on them when he saw their repentance, because that is in accordance with his just and loving character. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins because of Jesus. He keeps his promise. And so we come to chapter 4. The message has been preached. The people have repented. They've been saved. They've been set free from their evil ways. And you would think that Jonah would think, isn't that wonderful? All these thousands of people going to carry on living. God has had mercy on them. Isn't that great? You know, if I was preaching in a church and even one person came up to me and said, I've just become a Christian, I would jump up and down. If somebody here this morning and doesn't know the Lord yet came up after and said, I want to become a Christian, wouldn't it be great? And all these thousands of people have been saved, and Jonah is angry. Angry. It seemed very wrong that God should forgive these people. Wow. He's been forgiven by God, even though he's been disobedient and run away. But he doesn't want God to forgive anyone else. Why was he angry? Well, there's one smaller reason, I think, and then there's a big reason. It might have been because he thinks people are going to think he's a false prophet. See, it says in Deuteronomy 18, in verse 22, if what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord doesn't take place or come true, that is a message that the Lord has not spoken, and the prophet has spoken presumptuously. So maybe he's thinking, after all this trouble, I've got to go home and my friends will find out that I've told them that Nineveh was going to be destroyed and now the Ninevites are still there. So I'm not really a prophet after all. It'd be a bit embarrassing, wouldn't it? To have to go home and say, I prophesied destruction and now they're still enjoying themselves. But I don't really think that was the main reason why he was angry. He was angry because God had forgiven people that Jonah hated and wanted to see destroyed. Jonah delivered bad news and is angry when the judgment is revoked. Even though he personally experienced God's mercy in the fish, he didn't want God to have mercy on the Ninevites. Surely, if he believed a whole city, including children, including people planning to get married, expecting their first child, just wanting to get on with ordinary life, apart from all the really wicked ones, he should have preached with grief and tears. And God teaches him this lesson through something else that he prepares. Remember, God had prepared the big fish. And as Jonah goes to sit down outside the city to see what's going to happen next, he makes himself a shelter and sits under it. But he's getting a bit hot and bothered. Not only is he angry, he's hot and bothered as well. And God provides a big plant that grows over his head in the middle of the night to stop him from getting sunburned and even more angry and red. And Jonah's quite happy about this. But the next day, God provides something else. He provides a worm. And the worm comes along and eats the plant. And so Jonah gets even hotter and even more bothered. And he wants to die. And God says, "Why are you so angry, Jonah? Why are you angry? Why are you angry about a plant? Come on." And he says, "I wish I was dead." And you see, God says to Jonah, "Why are you so worried about a plant dying when you're not worried about thousands and thousands of people dying in Nineveh? I mean, which is more important, the plant or the people?" And so God teaches him yet another lesson. We as followers of Jesus are sent into the world to give good news. The good news found in John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that all who believe in him won't perish, but will have everlasting life. God loves all and will give eternal life to all who believe. We speak of a God who doesn't want anyone to perish, but for all to repent and be saved, as Peter wrote in his letter. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise of coming again, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. God has compassion for the lost. Jesus welcomed the worst of sinners. He always got into trouble, didn't he? For going to the wrong people's house, for letting the wrong people speak to him, for letting the wrong people touch him. Those that were regarded as sinners. But God in Jesus welcomes all. Of course, our message does include the need for repentance, because people, we, are not right with God. We have all sinned. We've all gone astray like lost sheep. And like the Ninevites, we need to turn to God in faith and trust. Unlike Jonah and the manic street preachers, that's not the band, but those who yell at street corners and those who post hateful Facebook messages, we should share the message with love, grace, and respect. And when speaking of judgment, with tears in our eyes and love in our hearts. Can God use a reluctant, disobedient, uncaring, angry preacher? Well, yes, he used Jonah. But isn't it better that people come to Christ as we tell them of God's love and way of salvation, not because we must, but because the love of Christ compels us? Love for God in return for his love to us. Love for a lost world. Love for a sad and sinful people. And even love for our enemies. As God has loved and received us, we need to remember and pass on that grace to others. If you don't know Jesus yet, you can come to him today, say sorry for sin, turn to live his way, and he will forgive. He will welcome you, because he promises all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jonah didn't want God to save the Ninevites. Hopefully, there is no one, no kind of people that you and I don't want to be saved. That's a question, isn't it? Is there any people you don't want to be forgiven? Any kind of people you don't think should be forgiven? I pray not. The old hymn says, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. But it does as well to seek our hearts, doesn't it? If God sent you to give a message to somebody you didn't like, to somebody who's offended you, somebody whose lifestyle you don't agree with, to a despot, to a wicked city, would you go? Would I go? That's what God calls us to do. We're not just preaching to people we like. We're passing on God's message to all and hope and pray that they will believe. Let's not be like Jonah. I always say, I do not like the end of this book. What happened next? Is it all the way through? Jonah's angry, he's running away, he's preaching, he comes back, he's cross, gets angry with God. God has another word with him. Stop being angry, Jonah. Why are you so angry? There are children in this city. Why should they be destroyed? Why haven't you got compassion? You thought more about the plant than you did about the people. So come on. What happened? I don't know. Did Jonah change his mind? Did he suddenly become compassionate and loving? Or would he be pleased to hear that in 100 years' time, Nineveh did get destroyed? We don't know. But what about us? When God says to us today, repent and believe in me, so that you won't perish but you'll have eternal life, are we listening? If he says to us, have compassion on the lost, have compassion on those you don't like, have compassion on your enemies, and preach this word, are we going to do it? Or not? Let's not be like Jonah, but let's be like Jesus, who lovingly invites all to repent and believe the gospel, lovingly and with great compassion. Because he is the God who is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. In a few minutes, we're going to be coming to the table to break bread. The band are going to come back up and we're going to sing a lovely song that reminds us that each one of us is only here through God's grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love. Help each one of us to accept that love and to pass it on to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your loving compassion and mercy. Help us to live in gratitude for your grace and in love and compassion for everyone we meet. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all today, this week, and always. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.